The gods of this world want to know what you can do for them. What you can do to promote their cause. Our God has the prosperity of His servant at His heart. And that doesn't mean cars in the driveway and chickens in the pot. That means my spiritual prosperity. I thank God for every material thing He's ever given me. But when Job lost all that, what'd he do? He worshiped. Okay, God, He's so good. He is so, so good. Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured. Now listen carefully, this is not my message. We've been in Luke 15, two or three messages now. Probably going to be in there that many or more, because the longer I study, the more men I read after, the more I get. It's powerful. But I want you to look at something. You're going to, every day of your life, and in particular, every time you go to church, but it really, church is just a reflection of who we are the rest of the week. Please look at verses 1 and 2. Then drew near. Church, help me for a minute. There's nobody here but us. Who drew near? Publicans and sinners. Look at verse 2. What are the Pharisees doing? Standing around with their arms folded, murmuring. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't be a Pharisee. Got to tell you this. I love Jews. Our church loves Jews. We support them. But a lost Jew, I'm loving them. We support them. I'd say it if Samuel Freed was here, and Samuel Freed would say amen. A lost Jew is everything the Bible tells you they are. Emily said, Dad, there's a caste system, and we're supposed to remember our place. Now, the family she's worked for doesn't treat her that way because she's earned their respect. She said, but trust me, that caste system is very real. One reason, y'all know Emily, one reason Irie respects her is Emily don't care 2 cents about your caste system. I'm telling you, church, verse 1 and 2 is alive and well. There's a self-righteous group in this world today. They don't need Jesus. They don't want Jesus. All they're going to do is sit around and nitpick and murmur and fault find. Listen to your preacher and vote me out tonight when I'm gone if you want to. Find me with the publicans and sinners. Now I'm going to tell the publicans and sinners about Jesus. And I'm going to tell them how the Bible says we can live a holy and godly and righteous life, and the Spirit of God will conform us to the image of Christ and take us children of hell and make us children of life. I'm going to tell them all of that, but I'm hanging out with publicans and sinners. My life is too short. I got too many years behind me, Brother Youngblood, to be hanging out with murmuring Pharisees. Amen. So look at verse number 3. He spake this parable unto them. What man of you having 100 of sheep, if he, everybody say the next word, lose one of them, won't leave the 99, go after that which is, please say it. Verse number 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently until she hath found it. Verse number 9 at the end. Look at the last sentence. Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Verse number 11. He said unto a certain man had 2 sons. The younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. We'll stop our reading there because we're going to refer to the scripture a few more times. What I want to give you this morning from the very depths of my heart is a short review interwoven with a little more foundational material about the whole chapter. The sheep, the coin, and the son. I'm just going to kind of review and look at it from two or three different angles. Then we're going to focus on that second one. Last Sunday, we focused on the first one being the sheep. I have meditated on it this week, and I'm thankful that He came and found me when I was a lost sheep, Brother Michael. I'm glad that God spared not His own Son. I'm thankful for the shepherd and the sheep. What we're going to focus our attention on this morning is the lost coin. Most of you have been in church long enough to know that there is some very deep significance to the woman and her ten. Why this is the only woman mentioned. There's not even a mother mentioned for the prodigal. It's the only woman mentioned in all three parables. Most of you are aware that there's some deep significance to the 10 coins and losing one and all of that. We're not ready to go there yet, but we're going to focus for a few minutes on the lost coin. But I want to look at all three of these, because if you focus on one and you don't look at the other two, you are going to get an unscriptural view of lost and found. Get that in your heart. Listen to me carefully. A preacher unintentionally or intentionally could take any one of these and get on his personal hobby horse and make the gospel everything he believes it is in his own personal experience. And we're all capable of doing that. The man who fell in the aisle under deep Holy Ghost conviction in Tennessee, I believe it was, and came to himself a couple hours later, if he's not careful, and I love him, I respect him, he's with the Lord now, if he's not careful, the way he conveys that to a congregation, it comes across as, if you didn't do that, you're not born again. That's not scriptural, and if it was, Zacchaeus would mount the pulpit and say, if you didn't climb a tree, you didn't get born again. And the woman with seven devils would say, if you didn't wash his feet, you didn't get born again. Let me, you understand what I'm saying? So be real careful when you study the scripture. But what these beautiful three parables give us is three pictures of salvation from the angle of the Son, who is the good shepherd, the woman, and the house, which is a beautiful picture of the Holy Ghost and the church. The Holy Ghost works in and through the church. Listen to your pastor. I don't believe in house church. If you have to go to a town where there's not a church and you start a church in your house, I believe in that. But when there's Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches you can get to, and my version of what you can get to and your version of what you can get to are probably very different. Okay, but I'm just saying, if there's a Bible-believing church in your town, God wants you gathered with other believers. You're not going to get at home, Christina, you by the radio, what you got this morning. Well, I'll log on. You ain't going to get it logged on. You better get it tapped in. You better tap in. We get there. You say, preacher, that's what you're supposed to say. You're a pastor. I believed it long before I was a pastor. My daddy didn't get saved at a house church. My daddy got saved at a church where they were preaching and they were singing and they were worshiping Jesus. I got saved at home. I got saved at home, but I got saved at home as a result of a church that had pointed me to Jesus, okay? So three powerful, beautiful, beautiful pictures. Listen to this. Listen to this. The sheep was lost, wandering, W-A-N, not W-O-N, not wandering, scratching his little woolly head, wandering, W-A-N-D-E-R-I-N-G. The sheep was lost, wandering from home. I want all of you young people, I say it, I don't go two services in a row without saying this. I want all of you young people, any of you having a midlife crisis, I want you to listen to me too. That's a bunch of malarkey is what the midlife crisis is. That's just your sin nature revealing itself. You ain't crucified with Christ and you having a midlife crisis, okay? And you got to go out and have one more fling. No, you need to get a hold of God. But I want everybody to listen to me for a minute. That sheep, that 30-year-old, that 40-year-old, that whatever-year-old, let me tell you what he did. Well, that looks good. I went to see Stephen the other day. That is some of the most. If you ever go see them, please take 176 and get off of that cursed interstate called I-26, designed by the devil. 176 from Landrum to Campobello, it looks like heaven. And I was going through there the other day, and there was a horse in a pasture. All this rain, all this tend, it was a beautiful pasture. It wasn't let go. There was beautiful grass up to here. And that silly thing had his neck stung out five or six feet trying to reach something out in the yard. I thought, you big dummy. You know what we do as believers? We got diamonds in our own backyard. Somebody say amen. And we reach our silly head through the barbed wire fence. Come on now. And that's what that sheep did. I want this. Oh, that's pretty good. I want this. Day law. And then he went, I'm the sheep was lost, wandering from home. I wonder if wandering, W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, leads to W-A-N-D-E-R-I-N-G. That'll preach. I wonder what's over on the other side. You young people, if you stood up and said, I've been wondering, I need the church to pray for me. I've been wondering what's on the other side. Can I tell you something, Miss Emily? Do you know what this church would do if they did that? They'd fall all over them, praying for them and building a wall of protection. Nobody's going to jump in your face and say, how could you? You come from 12 generations of fundamental independence, slot-slinging Baptists. How could you? Nobody's going to do that. If you said, I need the church to pray for me, I've been wondering what's on the other side, we're going to say, son, let's pray. And they're not just going to pray here in public like a Pharisee and make a fair show in the flesh. When they get home, they're going to go in that prayer closet and pray for you. Wouldn't you, church? Because many of you have been out there, and if you could put a barricade in front of them and say, please don't go down that road, you'd be the one nail in the board saying, don't go down that road, it's not worth it. You young people, can I be honest with you? Your parents aren't going to like this, but I've raised mine. I fully expect you to be tempted by what's out there in the world. Why? Because you got a sin nature bigger than Dallas. I think some independent Baptist parents, it would do them good to realize that in spite of everything they've done and every wall they've built, and I love walls. Y'all didn't get that, but you will on the way home. Okay? Jerusalem has walls and the Vatican has walls. Heaven has walls. The New Jerusalem has walls. Walls are good. With gates. Come in the right way. Everybody say amen. Hey, the one guy who got into heaven and he didn't come in through the gate, they kicked him out. So that's Bible. I got Bible just pouring out of me. Okay. Like Sammy Allen. You parents, can I tell you something? Your child's going to be tempted. Your child's going to be tempted. Two of mine, one to a lesser degree, but two of mine wasn't just tempted. The enemy in the dark of night sneaked in their bedroom and painted a bullseye on their backside. When the Holy Ghost wakes you up at night and says, you better go kneel at that bedroom door and plead the blood of Jesus, can I beg you to do it? Oh, Brother Rains, they didn't quote the New Testament. They didn't keep temptation from coming, did it, saith. I'm glad. Oh, every verse you've memorized will serve you well the rest of your life. But it's not going to keep the enemy's not impressed with. The enemy memorized scripture. He misquoted it. He did a poor job. He didn't have a good Bible quiz coach. But he misquoted it. But he tried to quote scripture to Jesus. So parents, don't be shocked and surprised when they're tempted. He wandered from the house. The coin was lost in the house, and the son went willfully from the house. It was deliberate. It was intentional. He got his bag out. He packed it. He went and knocked on his daddy's study door. And he said, Dad, I need my part of the inheritance. I'm leaving. It was a conscious decision. It wasn't careless. It was conscious. It was a conscious decision. He wasn't careless just here and there and woke up one day and didn't realize where he was. He saw the far country. He said, I don't like this anymore. That's where I'm going. And there's all different ways to describe your lostness. But here's the point that I want you to get right now. They were all three lost. And if you're lost today and you're still in the home, and your parents are faithful to a Bible preaching church, I want to tell you something. You're lost in the house. And here's the simple message God gave me. Are you ready? If looks could kill. If looks could kill. You won't understand it until I get to the third point. What did the woman of the house do when she realized she had lost it? What'd she do? Looked. She swept. She lit a candle. She stopped at nothing until she found that. Just like last week, he searched till he found it. Coming home without that sheep was not an option. Going to bed that night without the coin was not an option. And if somebody in your life is praying that this woman represents the Holy Ghost in salvation, if somebody in your life is praying that the sweet Holy Ghost will search for you and speak to you and convict you, you ought to have the decency to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be honest and say, I'm not there yet. I'm not ready. I'm not going to go through the motions just to get them off my back. But I do have enough decency and respect to say, thank you, Lord, that somebody's praying for me. And so number one look is the look of the mother. The look of the woman. I'm calling her a mother. She's probably a virgin in all likelihood in keeping with the 10 coins. But the look of this person. And every one of us in here needs to thank God that the Holy Ghost came looking for us. And I want to tell you something, because I'm going to show you a negative side of being lost in the house. But I want to give you a positive side of being lost in the house. If I came in, I don't have a coin with me. If I went back to the coin collectors back here, Brother PJ and Brother Rains, and if Brother Powell was back with us, and I said, I lost a coin, what's their first question going to be? Where'd you lose it? And the next answer is, if I knew where I lost it, it wouldn't be lost. But what they mean is, where were you when you lost it? Are you with me? Now, if I looked at it in the car, it was a new one, and I was all excited about showing it to you. And I saw, I knew I had it when I pulled in the parking lot, and I felt it when I came in the door, and service was getting ready to start. So I went to my pew. I could say to them safely, listen, I'm going somewhere. I could say to them safely, Brother Youngblood, I lost it in the house. Right? Brother Rains, are you sure? I am sure. I'm sure. I looked at it. I felt it one more time. And I realized I was late and service was starting. And I patted it and said, I can't wait to show my friends this after church. The only difference in a man and a boy is the cost of his toys. I can't wait to show my friends after church. So, Brother Rains, I don't know if it was in the restroom. I don't know. I know it's in the house. The likelihood of us finding your coin is much greater than if you got up and you had it in your pocket and you went to the farmer's market and you went to Bojangles and you went to the Memorial Day parade downtown and then you came to the church picnic and you reached in your pocket to show your friends your new coin and they'll say, where were you when you lost it? What, are y'all with me? You're going to go, I don't know. I've been half a day. I've been all over town. Would you listen to me? If you're lost, stay in the house. If you're a young person and you don't have any choice about the matter, and they drag you to the house, I hope none of y'all are being drugged. But if you got a drug problem, that's a good one to have. But if you're being drugged to the house of God, can I say something? Don't pitch a fit. Because your likelihood of being found is a whole lot greater in the house than it is out there. The other thing I want you to notice before I go is what when she started sweeping, ladies, help me, what was she sweeping up? Say it. What are we made of? Everybody getting this? Well, Brother Raines, I ain't been out in the gutter. You don't have to have mud on you. All you need on you is dust. And you're lost enough. The fact that you were born in dust, in sin, did my mother. You were dust. Okay? You don't need the scars of sin. All you young people, listen to me. I hear young people say this. I think I'm adding this. But it fits. I hear young people get about 30 and they are young adults and they'll get saved. And they'll say, growing up, I always heard the big bombastic testimonies, saved from a life of sin. And I thought I had to do that to have a real testimony. A, you don't have to do that to have a testimony. B, every horrible story I've ever heard somebody saved out of never made me want to go do that. So Trevor, help me one day. Was that just a little bit of a cop-out for them to go try what the world had? I'm just asking. If that's your story, I'm not fussing at you. I'm just asking. I'm on my third marriage. I spent 30 days in rehab. Part of my brain cells are dead because of what I did for 15 years. Elijah, if that's attractive to you, you might need more than spiritual help. We might just need to sit down and psychoanalyze you. That's not attractive. There's what Proverbs says, the way of a wicked man is froward. The way of a righteous man is plain. P-L-A-I-N. It just makes good sense. It won't get you into heaven, but it'll sure keep you out of a lot of scars and torment. So we got the look of the woman. I'm glad somebody came looking for me. Say amen. Here's what the preacher said Wednesday night. He is good, man. He made a good point. He said, amen goes right there. I'm going to try that. Second, look in your text, is the look of the friends. I've heard people all my life say I was afraid to admit I was lost because I was afraid what people would say. Now, I do understand that. I do understand that because we all got a pride problem. Can I tell you what everybody who knows Sandra, when you got saved, February. See, I can't keep up with time. Keep up with months. Can't keep up with time. 4 years ago. Did anybody embarrass you, make you feel dumb for living all those years with a false profession? Amy, was your mom embarrassed she got saved? Look at that verse. What did the sweet Holy Ghost say? Rejoice with me. My coin was lost and it's found. My coin was lost. So the look of the woman, the look of the friends. Here's the sad part, preacher. Here's the look that kills. How many coins did we start out with at the beginning? 10. She lost one. Do you know why? It's so tragic, Brother Breck. That one looked just like the other 9. Y'all were probably expecting something a little more profound. But profundities are not what's taking people to hell. It's the simple things. if I line 10 of our young men up here and pulled one away, he'd look as good as the other nine. All of you modest, sweet, kind ladies, growing in grace, if I line 10 of you up and said one of them's lost, nobody would have any idea which one it was, because you all look like 10 coins. The look that's going to kill a whole lot of North Carolinians. I woke up, Doug, Brother Doug, at 5 this morning. Got in bed at midnight, woke up at 5, wide awake. Everybody at Progress Baptist Church knows that's a miracle. I woke up at 5, Aaron. I said, Lord, of all the places you could have put me, I'm amazed. But the sad thing is, there's a church in every corner. There's a church around every curve. The vast majority of them, Brother Breck, will tell somebody the Bible way to heaven. You didn't grow up in Western North Carolina not knowing it. And all this light, and there's a whole lot of people in church today, their coin looks as good as everybody else's coin. But they're still lost. And because they look as good as all the other coins, it's going to be the look that kills. And that makes me very sad. Because here's my responsibility. Preach the gospel. Lift up Jesus. Lift up the cross in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's my job. I could tell stories. I'm going to tell you something that's very personal to me. And I that was one of the things I meditated on at 5 a.m. I was at two Christian schools. The second one I was at. The first, maybe second, but I'm pretty sure it was the first year I was there. At homecoming, they gave their testimony. And then they didn't do this before. We encouraged it. We had the seniors write out or deliver a testimony at graduation. Young person after young person after young person gave the same date for being saved. And please don't think I'm being critical. This happens all over fundamentalism. And what I found out was 2007-ish, which would have put them all in the same age bracket, The Burning Hell, a video movie, was shown at their church. If anything, it'll scare the devil out of you. And I've preached on hell. I've preached on hell recently. But Pastor Raines, my pastor, it scared me to know, hey, Trevor, we've talked about this, that I was dealing with a bunch of young people. All had a head knowledge, but I really wondered how many knew him in their heart. Because me showing scary pictures of hell and people screaming and causing you to repeat a prayer, you might look like the other nine coins and still be lost. Are y'all with me? So my appeal to you today is search your heart. Now let me be very clear. 1 John is the book in the Bible given that we may know we have eternal life. It says so. Here's what my pastor taught me. The key to most, if not all, but most of the books in the Bible, most chapters in the Bible, but most books, Seth, Elijah, this will help y'all in your study, boys. The key to that book is typically found at the front or the back door. You remember in the old days? Keys under the mat? That's a secure system. Keys under the mat. Insurance agent, I lock my house. Keys under the mat. He said, you'll find the key at the front or the back door. The key to 1 John is these things are written that ye may know. Here's how God wants you to know that you are born again. What He is doing in your life today. Not a prayer you prayed 2, 6, 8, 20, 30 years ago that did not change your life. If you said, Brother Haynes, how do you know you're married? June 2nd, 1984. I said, I do. The youngest kid in here would look at me and go, oh. And they'd get in the car and they'd say, Daddy, is that how you know you're married? Because you got a certificate that you signed and words you said? Y'all with me? Yes. There ought to be something going on in your life right now that tells you you're born again. Now, today may not be a great example for you, for whatever reason. But I'm telling you, you don't have to go back 20 years to know you're saved. You ought to be able to go, man, let me tell you what God did yesterday in my Bible reading. Let me tell you what God did Wednesday when He went to Romans 8. Let me tell you what God did. There ought to be, church, I'm through. That's called the witness of the Spirit. When they go to that witness stand at the courthouse, they want to know if what I say agrees with what was just said. Here's something else my pastor taught me. He said, I worry about somebody. I was old enough. He told me the name. He said, every time they stand up, the Holy Ghost sits down. What's he saying? Doug, I'm sorry. I'm scared. I'm worried. He wasn't critical. He said, there's no witness. There's no agreement of the Spirit. Do you have that? The look that's going to kill you, I'm sorry to say, is the one where you look as good as the other nine, but you still lost.